You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
You have your Bibles? Aren't you glad you have a Bible? Aren't you glad you can read? Aren't you glad you can bring your Bible with you without fear of anyone trying to take it away from you? Thank God for the United States of America. Thank God for this country. Thank God for the freedoms we have in this country. But I tell you what, we got to stand up for our freedoms. Yes, amen. Stand up and be counted. If you don't stand for something, you're going to fall for everything. And so you're here tonight. You know, you got your Bibles. Let's get in the Word and find out what God has to say. Amen. Ephesians 5th chapter. It's going to be good. Well, at least I think so. Ephesians 5th chapter. In the 13th, you know, it just, I want to get in context, and the only way to do that is start in Genesis 1, and you just don't have time, and I have so many things I want to say about Ephesians, about Ephesus, about the history of it and everything. Okay, Ephesians 5:13, verse 13. Says, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. I love that. Of course, he's talking about the light of God. He's talking about the light of Jesus Christ in our life, in your life, in my life. And really, in the context of this, he's talking about walking holy and walking right and coming out from the world and unfruitful works of darkness and so on and so forth. And get under the light, get under the examination table in a good way. God doesn't want to just point out all your sins. He wants to show you how to live and the right road to walk in, the right path to take. But if you don't expose yourself to the light, then you'll just remain in darkness. And so every time you come to church, every time you open your Bible, every time you read and pray and seek God's face, you're exposing yourself to light. You're getting under the examination table, in one sense, and letting God reveal to you what you need to work on, what you need to change, what you need to do, what you need to quit doing. But God forbid you never get under the light, because if you don't get under the light, you will remain in your darkness. I mean, deception is... of course, of the devil, but it's a deception most of the time is self-inflicted. We're self-deceived because we will not submit ourselves to God. We will not come to God. We will not come to church. We will not read our Bible. We don't want to pray. We don't want to get in that presence. Are you with me? Too many things we don't want to deal with. We'd rather remain in our sin or in our wilderness of pain. We're on the wrong side of the Jordan River. The land of Canaan's on this other side over here. We want to take another lap around Mount Sinai and stay in our wilderness of pain and sickness and disease or whatever, or afflictions or addiction or sin. And praise God, we can be set free if we'll come to the light. Amen. And he says, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. Oh, don't have any water. I was going to grab that bottle of water, but it's not there. But I'm not going to say anything to Ted about it in front of everybody, embarrass him and all. No, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't. It says in the 13th verse, all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. You know, if you want to improve, you're going to have to get under the light. In fact, if you're going to do your work in the dark, it's going to be a mess, for one thing. Hello? Because you can't see what you're doing. You don't know what you're doing. You think you do, but you really don't. I used to think I was smart. I was just dumb. I used to think I was cool. I was just a fool. I didn't start getting smart till I saw the light. And praise the Lord, I saw the light. Yeah. Amen. There was a way I thought was right, but it was death. Are you with me? Yeah. And when I finally came to God, then all of a sudden things started being revealed to me. In fact, now I see things wrong with the world that I didn't see wrong before. Mm-hmm. I see things now clearly, very plainly, clearly wrong with some things I used to do and the way I used to live that I didn't see when I was doing them. That's the problem with sin. When you're in it, you don't realize you're in it. You got to step back and look at it from God's perspective. And the only way you can do that is to get over here with God. Get over here with His Word. Step over in the light and shine some light on the thing. But we don't always want to pray about things. We don't always want to turn things over to the Lord because that's going to cause us to look at it differently. And we kind of like the way we're looking at it. Hello. Amen. have to answer to anything. But if we'll come over here and look at it from God's perspective, back away from the thing, we'll see it more clearly. I mean, when you think about it, I often hear people say this, and you do too, especially someone that came out of a rough background. And I think we do an injustice to those that are born again at a very early age and lived for God all their life and never got into drugs and never got into jails and never got into sin. I think we do an injustice by exalting and honoring and promoting and having on the platform the person with the most ungodly testimony that got saved, and everybody claps and hoops and hollers. Now, thank God they got set free. Thank God. That shows the power of God. No question about it. But the greater testimony is the one that never went through it, the one that was raised in a Christian home, the one that overcame it and never did drink, never did drugs. Are you with me? That's a better testimony. Come hither, my son. You have a pastor's award. See, they saw the problem, they saw the error before they ever got into it because they were raised in a Christian home. They exposed themselves to the light. Are you with me? That's something we don't always want to do, is expose ourselves to that light. You know, you know more about sin, and we often say this. We'll say someone, well, I'm so glad he came out all that. He can relate to me because he's kind of street savvy. He's worldly wise. I'm glad he went through all that and God delivered him because he can relate to me because I'm in that. Let me tell you something. I want to tell you he can relate to you better than I can if you're in sin or in drugs. Now, I used to do a lot of drugs and I was in jails and lived a wild life. I can tell you someone who could relate to you if you're having that problem better than anybody is someone that's never been through it and overcame it and stood against it. Now, thank God, yes, I can help you because I got set free. No question. But I think we demean the person that really served God all their life that actually knows more about God than we do sometimes that have gotten delivered from something. You see the imbalance. Are you with me? Sure, we ought to give back to those areas of life that we got delivered from. Sure, we ought to stand up, and I think it's wonderful that people that have been in prison got set free going back into prison. That is just awesome. Hallelujah. But don't belittle, don't demean or think that someone hasn't gone through a certain sin doesn't have any sense or any street savvy or ring savvy, we would say, in the boxing ring. That's crazy. Listen, someone that's drunk doesn't know anything about drunkenness. It's the sober person that recognizes drunkenness. In fact, you don't want someone up here giving a dissertation on drunkenness that's drunk. You really want someone that's sober up here telling you about drunkenness. And if you want to do hear a thesis on sleep, you really want someone awake giving it to you. This is deep. Are you with me? The one who stood against it and didn't give in to it has got a stronger faith than the one that gave in to it and got delivered. Thank God for deliverance. Thank God for being set free. But I tell you what, we ought to serve God. And the more we serve God, the more we know about the world. The world doesn't know anything about the world. The world lies in darkness. Sinners don't know anything about sin. The more you serve God, the more you know about sin. Actually, the more you serve God, the more you know about everything. Often people accuse us of coming in church and reading our Bibles and serving God and getting brainwashed. But that's a good analogy. Our brains were dirty. They needed washing. Those people that say we got our brains washed are just saying that from a dirty mind. Their brain is still in need of being washed. Those people that say you guys are out of your mind, well, in one sense that's true too. We're out of our mind and we're into the mind of Christ. And the problem we had was we were too much into our mind and we were not enough into the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. In essence, you need to get over yourself. We got over you a long time ago. You just need to get over yourself. Are you out there? Are you listening? See, get to Jesus. Get in the light. Let the light shine. Praise God. That's what he's saying. All things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. Expose yourself to the light. Get under the light of God's Word. Get under the light of Jesus Christ. Get at His feet. Hear what He has to say. Straighten up your life. For whatever makes manifest is light, or makes things known, or reveals things is light. Therefore, He says, 14th verse, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead. and Christ will give you light. I love that. Come out of your sin. Come out of that addiction. Come out of that anger, if that's the case. Come out of that thing you know is wrong and get over here in the light and wake up. You're being lulled into a sleep. Little by little, step by step, the more you get away from God, out of His Word, away from His presence, and so on and so forth, the more you're lulled into a sleep. You're just lulled into a sleep like that frog in the pot of boiling water. Doesn't notice it when you first turn it on. Swim around, the water gets hotter and hotter and hotter, and finally, before long, the frog is cooked. And that's kind of the way we are. You know, we mess around with it. And I know, hey, we're Christians and we love God. We wouldn't be here. This is Wednesday night. Goodness. This is Believer's Night. Believers come on Wednesday night. But what I'm saying is, we've got to make sure that we don't get lulled into a sleep by not exposing ourselves to the light of God's Word. Stay awake. There has been a spell thrown out upon this world. It's the spirit now works in the children of disobedience. We're living in a world that's under a spell. It really is. It's under a slumber. It's asleep to God. It's asleep to God's Word. It's asleep to the truths of God's Word. I mean, goodness gracious. I mean, people you'd think have more sense. You see, you know, you see on television, people get into the weirdest thing. Oprah's in some weird stuff now. Of course, she's always in something weird, but I mean, now she's into some weird, I don't know, you're God, I'm God, everybody's okay, you're okay, you know, all this weird stuff. I'm sorry, there's only one way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And you're not okay without Jesus. Hello? You know, they had a movie years ago about Gandhi, you know. You know, Gandhi, as far as a peaceful man and a civil rights activist, I guess, was a pretty good guy. But he made a statement. He says, I am a Christian, I am a Jew, I am a Muslim, I am a Hindu. No, he, I'm confused. You can't be all that. Those are contradictory statements. That's like, I believe in God, I don't believe in God. I believe in one God, I believe in many gods. I believe in, I'm here, I believe I'm not here. Well, I believe you're messed up. You can't have contradictory statements. They're self-defeating statements. I mean, when someone says that, we often sit back because we're not thinking, because we're under that spell, we're under that slumber. We go, oh, that sounds so wise. But if you get in the light, you realize how dumb that is. Well, I believe everybody's okay. Well, where did you get that idea? Hello. I believe there's many ways to God. Well, where did you dream that up? I mean, you have to examine the things that you think in your mind. You have to expose them to the light of God's Word, or you'll be lulled into a sleep. Well, I think this is okay. I think that's okay. It's all right to live this way or that way or this way. Well, no, really, you have to expose it to the light to find out if it's right or not. Because we're in danger of falling asleep under the spell of this world. So he says, wake up. Hello? We think we're waking up when we're out in the world, but we're actually being lulled to sleep. And it's only when we get in church or get in the Bible or pray or seek God or think about God or meditate on His Word that we're really beginning to wake back up. I tell you, when you leave this life and you step into heaven, you're going to step out of wondering into knowing. There's going to be a veil that's going to fall off you, and that numbing effect of the world, that dumbing down of the world, that darkness in the world, it's just going to fall off you. Now you see through a glass darkly, is what Paul said. But then, face to face. Now we know in part, but then we will know as we are known. It's going to be a revelation. It's going to be revealing. It's going to be an eye-opener. Ooh, my goodness. I mean, you're going to wake up. You will absolutely wake out of a slumber or wake out of a sleep. Kind of like you do from time to time, bit by bit, piece by piece, when revelation comes from the Word. You ever notice that when something comes alive, or reading something, or you're studying something, or maybe you're in a sermon or listening to a sermon, and all of a sudden something just hits you, man, you want to shout, you want to run around like Sherry. Oh! Oh, man, oh, what happened? You woke up. A little light came through. A little more light came. And you saw it. And you go, yes! Amen! Ow! It just gets all over you. Man, that's so good. You got to tell somebody about it. You know, go, oh, my, what happened? Well, you were asleep in that area. But finally, you got enough light and you woke up. That's what revelation does for us, see? That's why we got to keep coming. That's why we got to keep exposing ourselves to it. And he, that's our choice. He says, you wake up. Awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead. And Christ will give you life. Keep coming. You got to keep hungering. You got to keep searching. You got to keep seeking. You got to keep praying. You got to keep reading. You got to keep serving God. No, you don't, you know, I've served God long enough. I'm going to go home now. No, serve God all your life. Well, you know, I used to do that when I was younger. Yeah, and that's why you now have lost your faith. See, you're in danger of losing your faith, just like you could lose your... To lose your eyesight would be a bad deal, wouldn't it? You know, in this, in the natural, your eyes do get dimmer in the natural. Now, you can believe for healing and miracles and so on and so forth. I'm just talking about in the natural. And people lose their eyesight, they lose their hearing, and they lose access to a certain dimension or world. If you lose your hearing, you can't hear anymore. Y'all with me? Okay. And so what that means is sounds no longer affect you. You're not able to detect it. You can't hear music. Beautiful, wonderful music. Babies laughing. Wonderful. You are less of a person, really. Now, stay with me now. Thank God there's ways. You're still important. You're still count with God. But you know that you're missing out on something when you can't hear. That's a battle when you get older. You can put a hearing aids in because you don't want to miss out on that. There's a whole world you'll lose access to. See in the same way. You lose your sight. You can't. There's a world you lose access to. To lose your faith, my God. You lose access to heaven. That's not a good thing. Oh, I used to believe, but I just lost my faith. My God, you better find it. You better go back and get it. Hello. And the way you lose it, of course, is, well, use it or lose it. Are you with me? If you don't use your faith, you will lose your faith. It's like working out. You know, the more you work out, the longer you live, your body will stay strong. I was watching a clip today of Jack LaLanne. Works out 2 hours a day. He's 94. I mean, he was just talking right away, just sharp as a tack. Wrote a book, co-wrote a book with a guy. This other guy's a younger guy that was following Jack LaLanne around and listened to his program over the last 6 months. The guy's lost 30 pounds just following Jack LaLanne around. But he teamed up with this guy because this guy's like a financial guru. And so they wrote this book on being healthy physically and financially. And so the book's on being financially fit and physically fit. They're interviewing these two guys, this young guy, and then Jack LaLanne's 94. You know, he says, working out, he says, that's king. He said, diet, that's queen. You got a king and a queen. You got a kingdom. 94, you better listen to this guy. He knows what he's talking about. I love it too when he got through talking to him. He says, God bless you. God bless you. Said that several times talking to the guy that interviewed him. Wow. But see, he's using it so he doesn't lose it. People that live longer physically, people that are active. Okay? Your faith is the same way. You use your faith, your faith will get stronger. You use your faith, you'll get stronger. If you'll wake up, that's what we got to do. Wake up, you who sleep. Arise from the dead. Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly or wisely, not as fools, but as wise. How? What is he talking about? Walk in the light. Make your decisions, what you do, based on the word, based on the light. Because anything else is just darkness. Expose what you do to the light. Hello. Have you submitted what you're doing to God's Word? Because if you hadn't, you're still over here in darkness. You think you're okay, but you're being lulled in the sleep. How many times have you gone through a mess and finally decided to pray about it? Yesterday. Here's, I was at the house. I was looking for this bit because I had to drill some holes through some plates in the warehouse I'm building beside my house. And, you know, I'm putting vents through, and it's a big, you know, 2-inch hole I'm drilling through these 2x6 plates, and it's the bit's like a $50 bit. I mean, it's an expensive bit. I bought this thing a few months ago, and man, I don't want to lose this. If you're going to drill holes, you don't need just a hole saw that you do for a door. You want something that's real strong through solid wood. Now, you women lost you already, but anyway, I was looking for this bit. And I went through the whole warehouse. I mean, the warehouse, we have rearranged some things and boxed up some things for, I think, 45 minutes. I am going through boxes. I'm going through all my tool kits. I'm thinking, man, I just bought that bit a few months ago. I've got to have that bit. I had my drills. I had everything. And I'm ready to go to work. And I'm just getting frustrated, you know. And I'm just lulling myself to sleep. I'm getting into that slumber. I'm under the spell of frantic and frenetic and, you know, and all those, and I'm going through everything, and it dawned on me after about 45 minutes of solid looking and restacking stuff, climbing shelves and going up in the attic of this warehouse I've got. Why don't you pray about it? New concept. You know, we don't often think about that. I'm the pastor. You know, I pray about everything. Nothing ever slips by me without praying, right? Yeah. I'm in the Word, okay? I preach this stuff, okay? So I'm Superman when it comes to this. Are you kidding? I could have just slapped myself. Well, of course. It wasn't 5 minutes I found that thing. It was in a box I looked through 3 times. You know why I couldn't see it? I sleep. I was in a slumber. But my eyes were opened when I began to pray. I mean, that's just a little analogy there, but really, that's the way we are in many cases. We just don't pray enough about things. We don't turn it over to the Lord. The Bible says, cast all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. And if you want to sober up, you've got to get in His presence. If you want to wake up, you've got to get in His presence. Amen? And that means job, marriage, family. Hello. Every area you want to name. Wherever you haven't turned over to Him, you're still in the dark on. You're still asleep about it. You really haven't woke up yet to the truth of what's going to put you over in life, whatever that case may be. So He says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead. Christ will give you light. See then you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. How's walking wise? What's that? Walking wise. Walking wise is turning everything over to God. Walking wise is exposing everything to the Lord, to the light of His Word. Walking wise is putting His Word on the matter. Amen? Let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. Let the wicked man forsake his ways and turn unto me and return to me, and I will pardon. For my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts, unrighteous and wicked. For as the rain cometh down, the snow from heaven returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void. It shall prosper. It shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. See, turn around. Come away from your thinking and go into God's thinking. Turn away from your way of doing things, go into God's way of doing things. And God's thinking and God's ways are wrapped up in His Word, like the rain from heaven, God's Word coming down to you will cause you to prosper. And you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace, and the mountains and the hills will break forth before you into singing, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn tree shall come up the myrtle trees. I love crepe myrtles. Amen? Something good instead of something bad. Your life will be different. Mr. Bluebird, be on your shoulder. Because you've chosen to go His way. Because you've chosen His thoughts. Because you've exposed yourself to the light. Not that you can be beat over the head, but so you know which way to go and what to do. You're waking up now. You stop running off the road. You're no longer drunk. You're driving straight. You're not banging up your car. You're not spending all your money. Are you with me? Not hurting people because you're drunk with the world. Now you're not bumping into people, see? You're loving people. You're forgiving people. You don't take offenses. Because before, you were drunk with offense. You're intoxicated with hurt. You're walking around with your feel bads on your shoulder. Oh, you hurt my feel bads. Oh, you hurt my feel bads. You're drunk with that victim, that victim mentality. See, you've got to wake up. Wake up. Expose yourself to the Word, to the light of God's Word. You see everything differently. Woo, hallelujah. Come on now. Are you with me? Redeeming the time, 16th verse, because the days are evil. Hello. You know, it's like, it's raining out there. Come on in the house. We've got a dog, Mr. Bentley. Mr. Bentley is a mix, a Shih Tzu Maltese mix. Okay. And when Berna got him, she wanted to have a dignified name like Prince Charles or something, you know. I wanted to name him Scruffy, but, you know, that wasn't going to work. So he's Mr. Bentley. Mr. Bentley's a house dog. He has got hair all over. He's got hair. He looks like a mop. In fact, you can take it, pick him up. You can dust with him. He's just a cute little dog, and he's real animated, and he just barks all the time, and he stands up on his feet all the time. Looks like a little garden gnome or something, you know. He actually sits down. He doesn't just stay on his feet. He sits down on his rear with his hands up, and he can sit there forever. He's a house dog, but he doesn't have any sense. If you let him outside and it's raining, he doesn't know it's raining. He doesn't care if it's raining. He stands out in the rain. That dog needs to wake up. I mean, really, he is just, okay, I got to quit. Quit on the dog. It's kind of like we are. We're out in the rain. We don't even know it's raining. Out in the dark. We don't know it's dark. We're just having a big time. Just getting wetter by the minute. Just getting soaking wet. And it diminishes us. It does him anyway. He's about this big before he's wet. He's about that big when he's wet. He looks like a little rat. He's got so much hair that he just shrinks up. I mean, he doesn't look like the same animal. He looks like a little bitty rat because it diminishes him. I thought about how the world diminishes us when we get out in it like that too. Makes us smaller. Hello. Mr. Bentley, in case you're writing notes. Okay. Therefore, see, the days are evil. Wake up. It's raining outside. Get in the house. The days are evil. 17th verse. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Hallelujah. I love that verse. I tell you, that verse, I got a hold of that verse over 30 years ago. It just began to burn in me that God wanted me to know His will. You know, you hear a lot of Christians say, well, you never know what the Lord will do. Well, here it says, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And obviously, the will of the Lord is His Word. It's getting under His presence, getting in His, exposing ourselves to the light so that we can hear what He has to say. And what He has to say is His will. Amen? God's will is what He says. No question, when God voices an opinion, He doesn't have an opinion. When God voices a statement, Ten Commandments are not 10 suggestions, they're 10 commandments. When God says something, that's His will. So you don't have to be confused about God's will when He's made a statement. Are you with me? You can get the light on it. You can get light on your marriage. You can get light on some decisions. You can get light on something by getting God's Word on something. And the entrance of God's Word gives light. Psalms 119, verse 130 tells us that. The entrance of God's Word gives light, and it gives understanding to the simple. I love that. As long as you stay simple, you can understand it. It's just when you get smart, you can't figure it out. You can be too smart to get this. You can't be too dumb to get it, but you can be too smart to get it. Y'all listening? If you'll stay simple, then the Word will give understanding to the simple. Sit at His feet, hear what He has to say. You know, I was teaching this one time, obviously a lot different than this. This is pre-Bentley. But I was preaching this one time, and I got a prophecy just right in the middle of the message. It was years ago. And it just was a rhyme. In fact, this leads into the 18th verse, which I'll get into in a moment. But anyway, I stopped, and it just came alive to me. I can remember how it went. Out of darkness into the light. Out of wrong teaching into the right. Out of stagnant fools into the flow. Out of wondering and into the know. That's what's wrong with us. I mean, it came out just like that, too. I didn't pre-plan that. I prophesied it out as I was preaching. I just stopped, and I said that by the Spirit of God. And that's what God's talking about. We've got to get out of wrong teaching. We've got to get into the right. In so doing, we'll come out of the darkness and into the light. We'll come out of the stagnant pools where we're dying over here and into the flow. We'll step out of wondering into the know. Are you with me? And then in your spirit, won't be long, you'll burst out in a brand new song. Because that's what the next verse says. It says, be not drunk with wine. Where does it says, be filled with the Spirit. Speaking yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Woohoo! Are you with me? See, if you get in the light, all of a sudden revelation will start coming. And you'll burst out with singing. That's just exactly really what Isaiah 55 says. I quoted it earlier. Once the word gets in your life, so shall my word be to go forth out of my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it will prosper in the thing whereto I send it, and you shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. And the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Hallelujah. See, that's the result of getting in the light. That's the result of getting in the word. Joy really is the right response to God's word. Joy is always the right response to God's word. Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. You remember that? We've quoted that often. But you know the context of that? Nehemiah had come back to rebuild the temple. Ezra the priest had come with him, and they had found the law after 70 years of captivity, and they stood up and they began to read the scripture to the people, and they began to weep and cry because they hadn't heard the law read. They'd come out of Babylonian captivity, and there they were back in their city. And they were reading the law. It hadn't been done for 70 years, standing there in Jerusalem, rebuilding the city is an amazing thing. But they were crying and weeping. And boy, Ezra and them, they stopped them. They said, whoa, this day is holy. Don't weep. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. They were responding wrong to the word. The right response to the word was joy. Isn't that right? So if you really want joy, you Christians don't have any fun. No. No, we are the ones that do have fun. In fact, I don't want to go back the way I used to. Are you kidding? I want to go back the way I used to. I gave all that up for Jesus. Oh, yeah, I gave up not knowing where I was when I wake up in the morning. I gave up jail. I gave up losing all my money. I gave all that up for Jesus, but it was worth it. Are you kidding? I found what life was all about. I woke up out of a stupor. I woke up out of a sleep and a slumber. I walked into the light and I experienced joy because in His presence is fullness of joy. And when I get to heaven, He's going to say, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Real joy is in the light. That's where the real joy is. In fact, over in the darkness, there's just fear and frustration. Well, how did I get there? You got to get to Jesus. You got to turn it over to Him. Amen? So it says here, kind of like what we were doing tonight before we got into the Word. You worship, you praise, you sing. Hallelujah. It's like waves of glory come on you. Joy begins to come on you. So He says, do not be drunk with wine. See, there is a drunkenness, a darkness, a slumber that we get into in the world. But if we come to Jesus, we wake up. Do not be drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. There's another type of influence you need to get under, and it's the influence of the Holy Ghost. Let your high be from the Most High. It's the best buzz there ever was. Hello. One day you'll overdose and go right on up. Amen. Y'all remember that song the songwriters wrote? Well, I'm a Jesus junkie and I can't get enough. Sweet holy Moses, I'm hooked on that stuff. I need a little more of Jesus each day because I'm a Jesus junkie and I like it that way. I wake up in the morning shaking at dawn. I need a little more of what I'm hooked on. What has to go? I grab my Bible, it's laying on the shelf. Something, I don't know how it goes. But anyway, he grabs the Bible and gets a double dose and it's full of the Holy Ghost. But believe me, it's a lot better song than I just sang. But anyway. But we are Jesus junkies. We can't get enough. Sweet holy Moses, we are hooked on this stuff. I need a little more Jesus each day. Well, as you get in here, you do get under this influence. And it brings joy, real joy. No hangovers. Hallelujah. Lasting joy comes from exposing yourself to the light and getting at Jesus' feet. You know, I thought it was significant. Look at Mark 5. along these same lines with the same thought. Mark the 5th chapter. This is where the demoniac that got delivered. Remember the one that cut himself and cried out and they chained him up and he'd break loose the chains and got to Jesus and he got delivered. Hallelujah. Anyways, Mark the 5th chapter. The whole town showed up after he had this confrontation with Jesus. And it says in the... all those demons, you know, fell, jumped into those swine, those pigs, and ran off. You remember that story? They said, have you come to torment us for a time? And if you come to cast us into the deep? And Jesus said, come out. And they said, let us go into these swine. They did, and they ran off into the deep. And the guy that owned the swine, the pig herder, I guess you'd call him, he went back to town and told him, man, all my pigs have been, you know, jumped off in the deep. Well, he's bootlegging those pigs. They're Jews. They weren't supposed to eat ham. Yeah. Come on, think about it. These were Jews. You weren't supposed to be raising those pigs. They couldn't eat them. What were they supposed to do with them? So it wasn't a good thing. It wasn't like he was in a position to be blessed. That's not an indictment on hog hunters. I'm just talking about under that covenant that they were under. So anyway, they came back, and it says here in the 5th chapter, 15th verse, and they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and that had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Everybody say right mind. That's an interesting word because that where it says right mind, it actually is translated sober-minded in many other cases. It talks about Titus, Paul told Titus to tell the young men to be sober-minded. Peter talked about being sober-minded, same Greek word. Where it says right mind. So if you want to sober up, you got to go sit at Jesus' feet. Y'all see that? I think it's very significant that he was clothed. It says he had been demon-possessed and had the legion. He was sitting and clothed and in his right mind. You'll never be in your right mind till you sit with Jesus. Never. I've never been in my right mind until I sat with Jesus. I've never really been sober-minded. I've never really woke up fully until I was fully committed to the Lord. See, there's a you've got to wake up from the dead. You've got to rise and wake up. And Christ will give you light. And see that you walk circumspectly, redeeming the time. The days are evil. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, whereas excess be you filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Ooh, hallelujah. But you get with Jesus, you wake up. That's revelation. That's coming alive. See, you're getting more awake every time you come to the Lord, every time you read, every time you study, every time you pray, every time you go to church, you're waking up out of the slumber the world would like to keep you in, the devil would like to keep you in. Don't buy the lie. Don't fall into that. Because people do slip away. You know, I've been pastoring 26 years. This is my 26th year. If I can tell you anything about people, we've never really had a split in our church. I mean, some churches have, and that doesn't mean I'm a better pastor or not. Come on. I mean, a third of the angels fell from heaven. So, you know, problems happen to everybody. But we have had a lot of people go. In 26 years, are you with me? We've taken on a lot of people. Everybody showed up one time, this building, the gymnasium, the 45 acres wouldn't hold the people that's ever been through the building. Come on, in 26 years, visitors and everybody else. But we've had people that are pretty committed that just fade away. Most people don't get mad and quit. They just fade away. They get out of the habit. They missed a little there. And I'm not legalistic. I'm not here saying... you know, you're evil, corrupt, and wicked. No, are you kidding? Most people just fall asleep. Still Christians, I love God, they're just out of church. And really, they don't even know why they're out of church. I see people that used to come here, and they're just as nice and friendly and love the church, and I'm still their pastor. Yeah. I hear about people that talk about being members of our church, hadn't been here in 3-4 years. Yeah. This is still their church, and bless God, I'm still their pastor. That's right. They're good people, love God. Well, what happened? They just got out of the habit. And you know what? The more you get out of the habit, you just kind of, you know, you want to go slap and say, wake up, you're falling asleep. That's why we've got to watch that. Get out of reading the Bible, get out of praying, kind of get out of the habit of turning things over to the Lord. You know how we used to be fired up? You better watch it. You fall asleep here. If you sit at Jesus, you'll be sober and in your right mind. You can even be busy doing things for God and fall asleep not listening to Him. That classic case is Luke 10. I'll close out with this. Is this helping you? Hallelujah. I'm just giving some fatherly advice tonight. We all need it. I need it. I bore my soul before you. I talked about my 45-minute experience of searching for a drill bit. I'm trying to be as transparent as I can with you. Notice this. Luke 10, verse 38. Now it happened, as they went, that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Y'all see that? There's a difference. She sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted, okay? She wasn't hearing what Jesus had to say. She wasn't sitting at Jesus' feet. She was right there in the middle of it. She was actually busy doing things for God, but she wasn't listening to God. She was distracted. Y'all see that? She was distracted with much serving. Hey, we want everybody to get involved in the church. I think that's wonderful. I wish everybody would get involved in the church. But I don't want anybody to get involved in the church at the expense of studying and reading and praying. You should never get so involved in the church that that becomes your relationship with God. I hope you know my relationship with God is not based on me pastoring this church. My relationship with God is based on me praying, seeking His face, worshiping Him, reading my Bible. That's my relationship. The rest of this is serving. It's important. I should do that. I honor Him because He asked me to do it. And I'm more than happy to do that. But I got to keep the relationship up. You can have a relationship with your wife based on your job. Well, I pay the bills around here. I do go to work. I show up. I go to work and I come home. That's not a relationship. That's an obligation, maybe. That's not a relationship. You need to spend time talking with your wife. Hello. And that doesn't mean give me the remote, give me a glass of tea. And I'll get off that real quick because I'm getting some looks now. But anyway, she was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, I'll tell her to help me. Nobody knows the trouble I see. You know. She's just a victim already. Just everything's just going wrong, and it's her sister's fault, and she needs to get over here. And she's rattled. See? 41st verse. Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, I just can't help to see or hear in the lilt in his voice. I can almost hear him saying this. Martha, Martha, thou art troubled about many things. Y'all see this? Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. You know why you're troubled about many things? You know why you're worried about many things? Because you're not sitting at his feet. You're getting under the spell again. Hello. You're getting under that spell again, the spell the world would love to get you in. And you're not exposing yourself to the light and waking up. Hello? Does that make sense? And you can see it all through the Scripture. Who you hang around with? Hang around with Jesus. Who you're listening to? Listen to Jesus. Who you're exposing your life to? I'm amazed at work how we'll air our laundry to the worker that we work with all day long. I don't care if it has to do with marriage or bad marriage or whatever, and we won't go to God, and we'll tell it to somebody we don't know, somebody we're working with, is not ungodly, doesn't even know the Lord. Exposing it to the wrong thing instead of to the light, instead of bringing it to the light, coming to Jesus with it, praying about it. Are you with me?